Again, good evening. It's great to see everyone. Welcome to Midweek Service. I hope everybody's doing well. Very quickly, this is going to be our holiday schedule for the month of December and early January. Every Sunday, we're going to be having services at 88 Hanson Place at 11 o'clock. And then we're going to be having this Christmas program on Sunday the 19th. So please mark that down. And I really want to encourage people to continue to come out to Sunday services. It's going to be a great, great time. The worship team and Michael and the singers, they're working hard. It's going to be tremendous on Sunday the 19th. And then I want us to note this, that on the 22nd and the 29th of December, there will be no midweek services. So there will be no midweek services via Zoom on the 22nd and the 29th. I know many of us will be busy, you know, trying to, you know, get ready for Christmas and all that stuff. So those 2 weeks, there will be no midweek. And our first midweek back in the new year will be Wednesday, January 5th. That will be our first midweek back. Again, it's going to be via Zoom. Our first midweek back in the new year of 2022. But every Sunday throughout the month of December, we will be having church services on Sundays at 11 o'clock at 88 Hanson Place. Tonight, I want to start talking to us about overcoming loss. And so tonight will be part one, and God willing, next Wednesday night will be part two, overcoming loss. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Bible says, "There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." It says here in this passage, obviously we all know that Ecclesiastes was written by King Solomon. King Solomon, according to the scriptures, was the wisest man that ever lived. And he was saying to us right here in this passage, there is a time for everything under heaven. There is nothing any of us can do to control when things happen. It just isn't. There's so much that is beyond our purview in life, even as Christians. And seasons come and seasons go. Right now, when winter and the temperature's dropped, it's 47 degrees outside right now as I'm speaking, and there's nothing any of us can do about it. You know, we can pray all we want to have, 70-degree weather tomorrow. It's not going to happen because this is the winter season, and God runs through cycles. That is the way life is. And so I wanted to say that up front because I think when we understand that there is a season for everything, it helps us to adjust to different things that happen in life, including loss. And these verses should reassure us that God is in control of everything that happens to us. It is a simple fact of life. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13, it says, "Brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death." The NIV says about those who also fall asleep. Same thing. "So that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command and with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. And then in verse 18, it says, therefore, encourage one another with these words. You see, as Christians, we don't grieve like the rest of the world who have no hope, according to this passage. And it says here that because Jesus rose from the dead, we know that death is not the end for us, if we're Christians. Death for us, believe it or not, is the beginning of our existence on the other side. Now, notice the language. It says Christians who have passed away are said to be asleep. Yes, they are dead to us, but to God, they're simply asleep. When Jesus returns, we'll all hear God's alarm and wake up. And it tells us in this passage that the dead will rise first to go meet Jesus in the air. Now, a lot of people, you know, you'll hear about the rapture and, you know, Jesus is going to come back to earth for 1,000 years. They've totally misread Revelation. There is no passage that says that Christ is going to come back to this earth. He's going to be up there in the air, and then the dead will rise first to go meet him. And then those of us, if we're alive at that point, we're going to join them in the air. And they misinterpret a lot of verses in Revelation that talks about how Christ is going to come and reign for 1,000 years. We got to read everything in context, okay? But this verse tells us that we're going to meet Christ in the air, okay? He's not coming back to this earth to reign for a literal 1,000 years. Remember, a lot of the things that we read about in Revelation is symbolic. And most of that language, believe it or not, is borrowed from the book of Ezekiel. All right, in the Old Testament, okay? But I'm not talking about Revelation tonight. That's just a freebie, okay? One of these days, hopefully, you know, I'll take the book apart for us in the future, from chapter 1 to the very end. Okay. It's very, very clear. So anyway, but it says that those who are still alive will also join them in the air, all right? And the Bible says to encourage one another with these words. And the whole idea is that we keep the second coming of Christ in the big picture. That yes, life may be tough. Life, even when we lose loved ones over here, or we lose different things, but that we encourage one another with the fact that, you know what, one day all this stuff is going to be over soon. And even those that have gone before us, we're going to be reunited with them if they died in Christ. That's the assurance we have from the scriptures. Okay? The other day, last week actually, I was studying out Matthew 24. And this is always something that has always intrigued me for a very long time. Because over and over again, you know, the Bible talks about the fact that Jesus is going to come back. Okay? None of us listening to me tonight experienced the first coming, but none of us will miss the second coming. Okay? Even if we're dead, we're going to hear that trumpet sound. And we're going to wake up. And we're going to experience it. But over the years, I've always thought, what's it going to be like when Jesus comes back? Okay, what's it going to be like? I said, well, I was thinking one day, I said, well, maybe the world is going to turn flat. That way all of us can see him. Because right now it's nighttime for us in America. At least we're going to bed. In the other side of the world, they're waking up. And so I've always wondered, what's it going to be like in terms of when he comes back and he says that the whole world will see him? And this is just what I saw last week as I was studying the passage out. I said, you know what? I think it's going to be like this picture. This picture I put on the screen, I want you to imagine everything in the background just dark, okay? And I want you to look at the guy that's in the picture, and I want you to imagine that is Jesus, okay? That's the image of Jesus. I believe the image, when it comes back, is going to be that huge. And that's the earth right there. That is the guy is holding on to a little globe, but that's the earth. And as the earth is moving, remember that the earth rotates on its axis in 24 hours. Because it doesn't, when you go read all these passages, it doesn't say you know, it's just going to appear and in an instant, and it's going to be over. I think when it does happen, it's going to be like Jesus being this guy in the picture up there, and the earth is rotating. And in a 24-hour period, the whole earth would have seen him. He'll just be there. And I was so excited when I saw this. Now, I don't have any passages to prove it to you, but this was what the Holy Spirit showed me as I was studying this stuff out last week. I was like, I think this is what it's going to be like. And I got very excited. But it says that we need to encourage one another with these words. The fact that Jesus is going to come back. So far, COVID-19 has claimed over 5 million people across this globe. In the United States, we've lost over 700,000 people to the COVID virus. And again, I want to say to us tonight, brothers and sisters, we cannot let our guard down. This virus is still here. And guess what? When viruses show up, they don't disappear. We're going to have to learn to live with this stuff. And we are going into an endemic where we're going to learn to live with COVID-19. And who knows what's going to, you know, appear several years from now if we're still on this earth. I have no idea. But we need to continue to be vigilant. We need to continue to wear a mask. We need to continue to social distance. And we need to continue to, you know, wash our hands and stuff like that. Okay? Now, I'm thankful that more and more people are getting vaccinated. Because, you know, being vaccinated doesn't mean you're not going to get COVID, but it's going to ensure that at least you're not going to get seriously ill and end up in hospital. And so I'm appealing to you. If you're not vaccinated yet, please go get it done. You need to stay around for your kids. You need to stay around for your grandkids. Because what you don't know is if you go get COVID, you don't know what it's going to do to your insides. Now, some of us have gotten COVID and we've recovered. Praise God for that. But don't tempt God. Okay? Numbers do not lie. Because right now, we're being told, and I read up on this stuff every day, because most of the people that are in hospitals and are dying right now are the unvaccinated. So much so that even you read on the news, the infection rates are a lot higher, quote unquote, in red states and than in blue states. And quote unquote, again, I'm not talking politics here, but unfortunately, all this stuff has been polarizing. Where quote unquote, a lot more people that vote Democratic are getting vaccinated compared to quote unquote people that vote Republican. But this virus doesn't care what your politics is. And so I'm appealing to you as your evangelist and as your brother in Christ to take care of yourself. I've lost very close people to COVID this year, and they were taking all the precautions. And yet they still got it. And now they're no longer here. And so all I say to you is talk to your doctor and get some advice. And go do what your doctor says to do. Amen? Because there's a lot of misinformation out there about, you know, about this vaccine directed towards people of color. And so please be very, very careful. I got to keep going. In John chapter 16, verse 22, it says, so with you, now is the time of grief. But I will see you again and you will rejoice and no one will take away your joy. Jesus said this to his apostles, you know, after telling them, you know, he was going to die on the cross and all that kind of stuff. And so they were filled with grief. He says, now is the time of grief. Matthew 17, verse 23 says, they will kill him. And on the third day, he will be raised to life. And the disciples were filled with grief. The Bible talks a lot about grief. Tonight and next Wednesday, I want to talk about how to deal and recover from grief. How to help others who are grieving. Brothers and sisters, we all know that death is inevitable. The grieving process will not be cheated. And so we ask ourselves, what is grief? Grief is the normal and natural reaction to loss. It could be the loss of a spouse. It could be the loss of a family member. It could be the loss of a friend. It could be the loss of a pet. It's intense emotional suffering caused by loss, disaster to misfortune. Again, it could be death. It could be losing your property or your house by fire. It could be a hurricane coming through your town. All these events cause grief. It's not just death. You see, the loss of any relationship we consider significant causes grief. Believe it or not, when people move homes, when people relocate, they grieve. Even kids changing schools and moving away and being away from their friends and being away from an environment that they're used to, they grieve. I remember in 2004, when we moved back to the US from Africa. And I think we had been in Atlanta for about a month. And we're going home. I don't forget it. We're going home one day from midweek service. And Sarah and I obviously were in front, and my daughters were in the back. I believe they were about 9 and 10 at that time. And I'm driving home, and they both just start crying. And I looked in the mirror, I said, "Are you guys okay? What's going on?" And they're crying. And they said to me, "Dad, we want to go home." I said, "What are you talking about? We are home." He said, "No, we don't like it here. We don't know anybody. We want to go back home to Lagos. We want to go be with our friends." My daughters were grieving the loss of what they had known for 4.5 years. And so obviously when we got home, we sat down with them. And, you know, for the next several days, Sarah and I were in there with them, helping them walk through their grief and reassuring them that, hey, you're going to make new friends. And that's exactly what we did. Sarah and I went and looked for several people in our church and tapped on their shoulder and said, "Please, can you send your daughters over? Can our daughters come spend some time with you?" We had to make it happen so that they could develop new relationships. But loss is real. Some of us, we've gone through financial changes, both positive and negative. When you lose a job, when you lose a position, especially if you were fired, you're grieving. It hurts. We're entering a period where people are grieving in our church and in the country. The holidays for some people is one of the hardest times because it reminds them of people they've lost. And all of a sudden now they just face Thanksgiving without their loved one. They're about to face Christmas without their loved ones. It's tough. Some of us have had health challenges. It's tough to go through and to be in a place where, man, your health is not what it used to be. And we're grieving our health in terms of it's not what it used to be. And it's hard. Some of us are grieving loss of safety, loss of trust, loss of dreams. We wake up and we think, this is not what I thought my life would be. And we may begin to start comparing our lives with other people around us and somehow think God is unfair. I remember we all experienced a loss of trust in the church in 2002 because a lot of people thought our church was perfect, and it wasn't. It never was. Remember, what is the church anyhow? We're just redeemed sinners. And so when all that hoopla happened, it caught a lot of people by surprise. It really did. And I want to commend you for sticking it out because a lot of you are still here. You went through that storm and you're still here. Why? Because your confidence was in the word of God. It wasn't in individuals. Because it was the word of God that brought you in, and it is the word of God that has kept you grounded. And so we got to be very careful. I have no idea the challenges we're going to face in the next 10 years as a church. But I'm not going anywhere. Because this is where I was saved, and this is where I'm going to die. Because if my Bible says it, I'm going to do it. I'm going to be involved in it. And if it's not in the scriptures, I don't want to hear anything about it. But some of us are still grieving 2002. But it's time to deal with that grief and to move on. Grief recovery is about mending a broken heart. It's about going on living after you have suffered a major loss or something that has shaped your existence gets taken away. We will go through many losses in this world. And they, for the simple reason that this is not home. You've heard me say this so many times. We're just a passing through this place. You can't get comfortable here. I mean, seriously, if you think about it in the other way, if this earth was so beautiful and so comfortable, we would not want to leave. And I believe that's one of the reasons why this place would never satisfy. Because if we had everything we needed, you're not going to want to leave. And that's why we're itching for a better country, a heavenly country, like it talks about in Hebrews. Rachel Carr, our sister Rachel Carr, lost her mother, I believe, on Sunday. And some of you may have also heard, our brother Hassan, he used to be a part of Brooklyn, was around a few weeks ago. That was the first time I met him. He lost his father. As a matter of fact, that Sunday he came to church. His father also came to church. And that was when I met his father. And as God would have it, I'm sitting there one day and I took his contact. I had it in my phone. And I said, you know what? Let me give him a call and just say hi and just see when we can get together. And I couldn't remember his name. So I texted Hassan. I said, by the way, what's your dad's name again? I know it's in my phone, but I can't find it. So he texted me back. So I called him up and he picked up the phone. And he thought I was a repairman that he was expecting he was trying to help another neighbor with some issue. So I said, no, I'm Richard from the New York City Church of Christ. I met you a few weeks ago. He said, oh, yes, nice to hear from you. And so we talked a little bit. And we actually talked about getting together. And, he said, yeah, give me a call back. Let's do lunch and everything. And then the next thing I know, he's in hospital. And so our brother Hassan is hurting. And so I want us to reach out to him. Richard is also hurting. I want us to be praying for them, that God will give them peace, even as they're making arrangements to bury their loved ones. Our hearts go out to both of you, okay? But I say that because we are going to lose loved ones, if you haven't done that already. It is going to happen, okay? I've already buried both my parents, Sarah lost her dad not too long ago, and her mother's still alive, praise God. But I know one of these days, she's also going to cross over. That's just life. And so we are all going to experience this together. So we need to learn how to help each other grieve and to be there for one another. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, the Bible says, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens. I'm reading the New Living Translation. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. We need to carry our burdens to God. We need to carry our burdens to Jesus. I had to go in yesterday for colonoscopy. And for those of you who have gone through it, this was my second one. The whole of Monday, I was on a liquid diet. And so I wasn't very happy. I was very hungry, but Sarah took me to the hospital and she waited. And last night she was telling me that as they wheeled me off and took me into the room to put me to sleep and to get the procedure done. As she was waiting in the waiting room, she just had this overwhelming flashbacks to when they wheeled me in for my cancer surgery. And, he just brought back all that stuff. Like, what if he doesn't wake up? What if he doesn't make it out of this? Now, praise God, I'm here. Praise the Lord. But she went through that yesterday. But she went to God and she just kept on praying and reading her Bible. And then, they went and called her that the procedure is over and that she could come in. And when she came in into the recovery room, When I came to, when they woke me up, I just started singing. And the first thing I did, I recited the 23rd Psalm, and then I just started singing. I love you, Lord. He heard my cry. And Sarah texted my daughters and said, well, record him. My daughters can be that way. they're coming here in a couple of weeks. You're going to get a chance to meet them. But she didn't record it, but she was helping me get dressed and everything. But I say that to say, she started to feel all that stuff. Overwhelming, or what if he doesn't make What if it doesn't make it? And she just went to God. And Jesus was there for her. And Jesus helped her through it. So when does grief begin? It begins, number one, at the time of diagnosis of a terminal illness for somebody. You know, when your loved one or somebody you know that you're very close to, when they've been diagnosed with a terminal illness, that's when the grief begins. Now, so for some people, it happens at the time of death of your loved one or close relationship. But that's when grief begins. And number three, it also happens at the time of learning about the death of a loved one. Or sometimes when you're faced with a new and jarring reality in life. Again, it could be a divorce. It could be fire. It could be an earthquake. It could be a hurricane. It could be loss of a job. Again, it could be relocating to a new place. But these are the four common occasions when people experience grief and when it starts. And so you ask, how long does grief last? Great question. That's a great question to ask. The truth is there's no formula. It varies based on your background and your general makeup as a person. Now, the truth is, since grief is painful, as humans, we want to know how long it is going to last. I know that, okay, for instance, my procedure is going to be done on Tuesday and, you know, all this stuff is going to be over. That kept me going on Monday because, you know, my stomach was hurting and all that, all those different things. But I knew that, okay, when I'm done with the surgery, with the procedure, my pain is over. And so that kept me going. Pain is generally easier to deal with when we know it will end at some point. So you ask, how long does grief last? My answer to that, it will take as long as it needs to take. Let me repeat that. It will take as long as it needs to take. And because we all grieve differently, it may be different for Joe than it is for Stella. It may be different for Guy than it is for Farah, because we're different people. We have different makeups. This idea that time will heal is not 100% true. It really isn't. Okay? I mean, for me, for instance, I lost my mother. I was very close to my mother growing up. After my parents went their separate ways, my mother raised us, and I was very, very close to her. And my mother's been gone now for 29 years. Sarah and I got married in March of 1992, and 6 months later, my mom was gone, just like that. And I did not see it coming. Now, the mistake I made was, obviously, went back home, buried her. I was gone for like a month because we had to organize the funeral and everything. And I came back to Kenya. Sarah and I came back to Kenya, and I jumped right back into the ministry. Without realizing it, I delayed my grief. I just thought, okay, let me just get busy. Let me just get, you know, back taking care of people and taking care of the church, and I'll deal with this stuff. And all I did was postpone my grief. Now, looking back, I should have done it, okay? And don't do that. You know, you need to, if you're grieving, you need to grieve, okay? And brothers and sisters, there are brothers and sisters in our church right now that are grieving, and we need to reach out to them. We need to be there for each other. The Bible says, carry one another's burdens, all right? One day you're going to need other people's help. One day you're going to need other people's support. So let's be there for each other, because we're going to experience loss several times before we leave this earth. Okay? So let's talk about factors that affect the length of the grieving process. The age of the deceased has a lot to do with it. You know, when somebody dies very old, you know, for some reason as humans, we feel, okay, yeah, they're older. You know, at least we know they were going to cross over. And so, not that we don't grieve, but it's not as hard as, say, losing a young person or somebody that's middle age. And so the age of the deceased has a lot to do with the grieving process. The nature of the death also has a lot to do with it. Was it sudden? Was it accidental? Did the person get murdered? Or was it even, you know, did they take their own life? I remember many, many years ago, again, while in Atlanta, and I may have shared this before, there was a gentleman who was several years ahead of me that I consider one of my school fathers when I was in high school. Wonderful, wonderful guy. He lived in Champaign, Illinois, multi-millionaire, very generous. And I would call him up just to see how he was doing. We had a meeting in Chicago one time. I went to see him. He came and picked me up, and I spent the night with him. And I'm talking to him. I was like, what's all this? And he looked at me and goes, I thought, you know, all this stuff would make me happy. And he says, but it's not. And I would call him up just to see how he was doing with his with his family. And one day he actually said to me, he said, you know, Richard, he says, you're the only person that calls me just to ask how I'm doing. And you never ask me for anything. I said, I knew you before you had anything. I said, I don't want anything from you. You got nothing I really want. And I got him to read the book of Ecclesiastes before the next morning, and he had done it. And fast forward several years later, I'm trying to reach him. I couldn't reach him. He had taken his own life. I read on the internet. I couldn't get a hold of him. I left messages on his phone, and it's not like him not to call me back. And so finally one day I said, let me just try and get through to him, through his business. And so I Googled, you know, his business place. He owned a bunch of apartments in Champaign, Illinois, and he would rent it out to students. That's how he made his money. And I saw the headlines, owner of Gabe's Place shoots his wife and kills himself. He shot his wife in the leg. I'm still in contact with her. She's now moved to Dallas. But he killed himself. And that was the first time somebody that I knew that was very close to me took their own life. I couldn't preach the next day. I was in tears the entire, that Saturday. I found out on a Saturday, the elders came over trying to console me. I was inconsolable because I'd never experienced anything like that before. Somebody that close to me taking their own life. And so that affects us in terms of how we deal with our grief. The nature of the relationship with the deceased also has a great deal of how we deal with grief. Our personal coping skills also helps us in terms of how we deal with grief. The support systems that we have available to us, okay? I don't know if you've even noticed, even with COVID-19, that you can actually call in to some hotlines and therapists will talk to you, even here in New York, because we've lost a lot of people in New York City to COVID-19. But there are resources available to help us to cope and to grieve, okay? Other events in one's life, again, also has a lot to do with how the grieving process. And if I can make any appeal to you tonight, don't put your grief on hold. I did not recover until my daughter was born 2 years later. That was when it hit me. And that's another reason we named her after my mother. We gave Gina my mother's names because the doctors had told us we were having a boy. Actually, both of our daughters, they got it wrong. They said, you're having a boy. And so when my daughter was born, it's like, oh, you got a girl. I went down into the, I found the chapel at the hospital and I was just crying. I was bawling my eyes out because I felt like it was as if God had given my mother back. And that was when my grieving started. And I felt God had given me this new child, you know, to replace my mom. Again, we deal with grief differently depending on our gender. There's sexual differences. Men and women deal with grief differently. Okay, we men, for the most part, we bottle things up. We don't talk. You need to talk. I would tell Sarah I'm feeling this way, and sometimes I would just, you know, be crying on her shoulders, and she would just open up her Bible and just be reading the Psalms. But it helped a lot. We got to get it out. You are not Superman. Okay? You got to get it out. You let your spouse in and vice versa. But I know most men don't even know how to deal with grief. It's okay to cry. You know, somebody that's significant in your life is no longer around. It's okay. Jesus wept when he was told Lazarus had passed away. Although he knew he was going to raise him up, he still wept. He still hurt. Okay? Now, there will also be continuing reminders of the loss, like special holidays, like Christmas and Thanksgiving. When the birthday of the person comes around or the anniversary, we grieve. Special family gatherings, whether it's weddings or family reunions, all of a sudden you're going to realize, oh, this person is not here. I'm not jumping up and down my next trip to Lagos, Nigeria. Because, like I shared with you months ago, when the brother who's the lawyer died, that was the one brother I would always see. He would always come spend time with me outside of this, the staff of the Lagos church and the elders. The thought that the next time I go, he's not going to be there. I don't even know what that's going to feel like. I'm still grieving him. Sometimes, you know, when you're dreaming about the deceased. Sometimes, you know, you're revisiting favorite places maybe that you used to go with that person. Or you hear music or smell or song that reminds you of that person. That's okay. It's part of the grieving process. Again, I may have shared this before, but I'll share it again. I'll never forget the day I'm in my office in Atlanta, and I'm missing my mom, and I'm just crying my eyes out. And my daughter walks in, Gina walks in, my oldest. And she goes, "Are you okay, Daddy?" I said, "I'm not okay." She goes, "What's going on?" I said, "I'm missing my mom." And she came and gave me a big hug. And she says, "I'll be your mom." Oh, that just melted my heart some more. And going forward, I mean, my kids have seen me cry so many times. She would come in and she would see me crying, and immediately she knows. She would just come and just hug me and just hold on to me. And I'll tell her thank you. And I know it drew us closer together. And so, brothers, I'm asking you, have your kids seen you cry? I did not see my father cry until when we buried my mother 29 years ago. That was the first time I saw my father die, cry. My father didn't cry when he was burying his mom. I never saw him cry. We had a service, one of the services for my mom, and I looked over and my dad is crying. That was my first time ever I saw my father cry. And I say that to say, you know what? My kids have seen me cry so many times. It's okay. And so the question is, should Christians grieve? Absolutely. In Acts chapter 8, verse 2, it says, "Godly men buried Stephen and mourned deeply for him." In Exodus chapter 34, after Moses died, the Bible tells us that they mourned for him for 30 days, a whole month. They were grieving. It's okay to grieve. Yes, we know we're going to see the person on the other side. Yes, we know they've gone to paradise, but it's still hard. I've lost a loved one. You've lost a loved one that we're very close to, that we used to admire. I know some of us are still grieving Fiola's passing. Michael, her husband, is still grieving. Her mom is still grieving. That's another kind of grief, by the way, because it goes against the natural order of things. It is kids that are meant to bury their parents, not the other way around. Some of you were there at the funeral. Her mother was inconsolable. In my culture, actually, she wouldn't have been allowed to be there. But that's the way we do it where I'm from. Because it's just too much. And so parents are not allowed to attend the funeral of their kids. Sometimes they wouldn't even tell you where your kid is buried. The family will go take care of it. When my mother died 29 years ago, we didn't tell my grandma. She didn't know. It was a year later that they broke the news to her. Very, very important that Christians grieve. I grieve. Another passage is 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 26, where David said, "I grieve for you, Jonathan, my brother." It's okay. When Kobe Bryant died, I cried like a little baby. I was on a plane flying back to Texas from Lagos. I found out at the airport in Lagos. from the plane went from Lagos to Paris. Then I changed planes from Paris to JFK, then JFK San Antonio. I cried all the way from Paris to JFK because I'm a Laker. I'm a huge Lakers fan. I couldn't believe it. When Michael Jackson died, I cried. I still remember the day. It was on a Thursday night. We were getting ready for midweek service. When Colin Powell died a few weeks ago, I cried. When Aretha Franklin died, I cried. I broke the news to Sarah because Aretha Franklin is one of Sarah's favorite singers. We were planning with some friends of ours to go watch her in concert. And that was when she wasn't feeling very well. Oh, that date is canceled because she's no longer feeling very well. It's okay to grieve. I also think it's important that we help our children through their grief. Again, depending on their age, our kids have been through a lot, even in the last 20 months, just like us adults. This world has fundamentally changed for them. But you got to draw them out. You got to ask questions like, are you missing your friends? How are you doing? Now, praise God, now they're getting vaccinated. And, quote unquote, the world is opening up. We're organizing. Okay, let them start spending time with each other. You know, I get very encouraged seeing them on Sundays. You know, and they come find me outside afterwards, you know, and they get their chocolates and, you know, they're talking to each other. That's exciting. Because, again, you know, we still don't have King's Kingdom, and I'm not sure when we're going to have it. All the elders have said is, okay, when the time comes, we're going to make sure that the teachers are vaccinated. But they've not given us the green light yet. But you got to draw them out. So organize some playtimes with other kids in the church, their age, with them. But our kids are grieving. Now, when somebody's grieving, these are just some practicals, and you go see them or you go spend some time with them, here are things you shouldn't say. Don't say, I understand how you feel, because you don't. Because whatever it is that person is going through, you just can't. You can't compare what you've been through to what that person is going through. So don't say, I understand how you feel. Do not say, snap out of it. Okay? Don't say, the living must go on. Don't say you need to keep busy. Okay? I know we say, sometimes people say these things because they just don't know what to say. Even if you don't know what to say, just be quiet and just be there for that person. Don't say God will never give you more than you can handle. That is not the time and place for that. Okay? Instead, here are some things you can say. Say, I'm so sorry for your loss. I do that a lot. When I'm reaching out to somebody that's lost, I just keep saying, I am so sorry for your loss. You can also say, I can't imagine how painful this must be. I do a lot say, tell me about so-and-so. Tell me about your loved one. When Sarah and I went to meet Michael the other day, again, that was my first time meeting him. I said, tell me about Fiola. And boy, was he talking. And that was good. I said, tell me about Fiola. You can ask, what was your relationship like? You can also ask and say, can I get you anything? Is there anything I can do for you? Okay? And then you can also say, mind if I pray? I'm not saying you pray with the person. Okay, let me pray and then you pray. No. They're hurting. Most people, when they're grieving, they can't even speak. And so it's okay to say, mind if I pray? And then you pray. And pray for God to comfort them. Pray for God to give them peace. Pray for, you know, maybe the arrangements that are going on, that everything will go smoothly. You can say these things. Depending on your closeness to that person, put your arm around them. Let them cry on your shoulder. And as they're crying, just keep saying, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Cry with them. That happens to me a lot. When I'm with somebody that I'm close to and they're grieving and they're crying, I'm also crying. You know, I go get some tissue and I sit next to them. Very, very important. Brothers and sisters, may the God of all comfort continue to abide with us as we mourn and grieve the passing of all of our loved ones. Next weekend, I'm going to do part two. I want to play us a song that the words, and you're going to see the words on the screen, that I find very comforting when I'm trying to deal with grief. And so I'm going to play that song. Then after that, I would like for Hans, our brother Hans, if you could unmute yourself and close us with our closing prayer. And then after that, Jimmy is going to put us in our breakout rooms. I hope this has been helpful. And I will continue part two next Wednesday night. Please, if there is somebody that you know that's not online tonight, encourage them to go listen to this lesson. And I will continue part two next week. And so I'm going to play the video now. And then after that, Hans, if you could close us out with a word of prayer, God bless you all.
Once we dance.